stars are made and play.
Greetings, this is Kamika King. You're tuned in to Power FM. It's all day.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News.
Political parties risk electoral setbacks by ignoring grassroots support, governance advocates have warned. High Court dismisses petition against independent candidates. In international news, Zimbabwe's parliament debates draft bill to extend presidential term. And in sports news, Orlando Pirates land Mdledi Mityane in Stellenbosch swap deal.
And now, the Power FM News.
With upfront and reliable news every day, I am Shekinah Sakala. The Lusaka High Court has rejected a petition contesting the nomination of 101 independent parliamentary candidates. The petition was filed last week by the Consortium of Civil Society Organizations for Good Governance and Constitutionalism, along with civil liberties activist Isaac Mwanza. Lusaka High Court judge in charge, Kelvin Nimbani, dismissed the petition, ruling that it was improperly and incompetently submitted to the court. He noted that the petitioners failed to include a list of authorities and concerned arguments. Judge Nimbani advised that a petition must be accompanied by an affidavit verifying facts, a list of authorities, skeleton arguments, and bundles of documents, and a list of documents to be relied upon. To support his ruling, he cited Rule 4, Subsection 1 and 3 of the High Court's rules and the 2007 case of Matilda Mutale versus Emmanuel Munaile. Within a separate development, governance and development advocates have warned that political parties alienating grassroots voters risk setting the stage for their own electoral decline. Political parties that distance themselves from grassroots voters risk creating conditions for their own electoral decline, governance and development advocates have warned. Speaking during a Power to the People radio program on Power FM, Advocate for Industrialization and National Development, Kefas Musanda Mwape, said many political parties misunderstand where true political strength originates. He argued that while party structures play an important role, the real source of electoral power lies with the general electorate. Mr. Mwape noted that political parties often weaken themselves when they fail to adopt candidates who enjoy broad public support within their communities. According to Mr. Mwape, internal endorsements and committee decisions cannot replace the popularity and trust a candidate has earned among voters. He explained that when parties overlook such candidates, they risk creating divisions between party leadership and grassroots supporters, ultimately reducing their chances of success at the ballot box.
What is important are numbers in the ballot. The SWOT analysis goes that Bamsonda is more strength with the people outside the party. You will see Bamsonda being adopted. Why? It's because he's got a huge following than those that are within the party. This is why even incumbents where independents have won, it's because incumbents could have left the people. So the best is it's self-introspection.
Yes.
When you have an independent candidate in a particular constituency, one thing that you should know for real, I have done this research. Where we have seen independent anywhere, just know that the people that could have brought the vote to the president of that particular part where this independent has come from, they will be frustrated.
Meanwhile, youth activist Victor Malambo described the growing emergence of independent candidates ahead of the August polls as a trend that reflects dissatisfaction within communities. Mr. Malambo said independent candidates rarely enter races without cause, adding that they often emerge when incumbent leaders or party officials become disconnected from the people they represent and fail to address their local concerns. He warned that the rise of independent candidates has the potential to split a party's traditional support base, especially in constituencies where voters feel neglected.
Aye, that's why you find that the will of the people is very much important. Nanguku vota, ama vote ya kaena. Nanguka play kateko yu inevarela ndabantu kwa tifotulefu afe, as long as ve kateka ena pita. But you find that within a political party, ngakwabo kusala au kwa kweba tikureche nako bambi bambi tabareseke namu. Na ama voti ye nena uriawi nemulevo kwa tina ye na tulefu afe pa kafi ya pite, teti ya pite wa machachi. Kamula ndo wako weba atikanshi mwe, mwere sebafi nani ku, kuri kateka fioko mlefu afye bati mwala bokwe bati umuntu uleta development ni mukonstituency niyo mwebe ne mule isadida pando ole ya mukumisadi present. So at the end of the day you find that maybe bena bapo na ole ulia uwa ni political party independent uwa independent ena atitashani awina but nishe na ena futi asita affect ama vote kuri wakate kuri wakateka kama numbers tayabe but sometimes tufile tu alolesha konsekonse no kumono kwe bati we are balancing kubantu haba letu votera na ifo fwewe nefwe ntungulushi pakutituwa endere chapa.
The Zambia South Africa Association, ZASA, has disclosed that the repatriation process of Zambian nationals residing in South Africa began on May 23rd, with 40 returnees arriving safely home on May 25th. ZASA, an association of Zambians living in South Africa, says the repatriation of these 40 Zambian nationals was successfully facilitated by the Zambian government through the Zambian embassy in Pretoria. According to a statement issued by the association president, Ferdinand Simania, the exercise was prompted by concerns over recent demonstrations targeting foreign nationals in some parts of South Africa. Mr. Simania said the announcements by local community groups and the mayor of Estcourt in KwaZulu-Natal province calling on foreign nationals to leave the town by the end of May raised concerns among Zambian citizens living within the area. He explained that members of the Zambia South Africa Association in Estcourt alerted the association's national leadership, which then engaged the Zambian embassy in Pretoria to facilitate the return of the affected nationals. Mr. Simania further said a registration process was established for Zambians wishing to return home, with the program also accommodating nationals from Cape Town, Johannesburg, Pretoria and surrounding areas. Meanwhile, ZASA says it continues to monitor developments across South Africa and is compiling a database of Zambians who may require documentation assistance or wish to voluntarily return home. The association is also engaging families in Zambia whose relatives may be affected by the situation, especially where transport assistance may be required. He is therefore urging Zambians living in South Africa to remain vigilant, obey local laws, stay in contact with community leaders, and seek assistance from the embassy whenever necessary. Business operators and residents of Kawe are poised to see relief as construction on the Central Business District, CBD, dual carriageway enters its final phase. Following public complaints about significant delays, AVIC International Business Manager Wei Wan Hua and Kawe District Commissioner Lennox Chiwambwa did conduct a joint site inspection to evaluate progress on the crucial roadway. During the inspection, Mr. Yanhua reported that approximately 0.9 kilometers of the selected road layer had been completed, alongside 0.8 kilometers of dumped and stabilized structural material. He acknowledged earlier delays caused by utility service cable relocations, but also confirmed that the application of asphalt concrete is progressing on schedule for imminent completion.
Past this place, there was limited supply. Up to now, the selected layer is already there, around 0.9 kilometers. For dumping stabilized material, around 0.8 kilometers have been done. So, after this problem, we plan to finish the extra concrete work around 15 June.
Meanwhile, District Commissioner Chiwambwa expressed initial frustration with the pace of work since his last inspection 2 weeks prior. He assured the local authority, the Road Development Agency, and his office would ramp up supervision to daily monitoring to prevent further delays. He emphasized that despite challenges, the project is essential for revitalizing Kawe's infrastructure, adding that the CBD dual carriageway forms a vital part of a larger 650 million infrastructure package extending from Lusaka to the Copper Belt.
Very disappointed, to be very honest. The last time I came 2 weeks ago, I thought we'd make much more progress than this. Last time we were told that there were service cables that needed to be done. But I'm just happy that they're still sticking to 14th of June as the date of completion up to bituminous standard. We shall monitor. The local authority, RDA, my office, this must be our second home. Government has provided resources to AVIC. The whole project, $650 million. That's a project from Lusaka to the Copper Belt. Kawe benefits a section. We even have a 23-kilometer bypass, which we'll also be going to check on. This CBD must be done like yesterday. There's dust. There's no business for our people. We cannot continue pretending. People are desperate for business. So I want to reassure the public that we are here, your concerns. Come 15th, They're saying 14th, but I'm adding an extra day that will be done up to becoming a standard this section. Then we can cross to start reaping the other side.
And within international news, Zimbabwe's parliament is considering a controversial constitutional amendment bill that would extend President Emmerson Mnangagwa's